continue to think about and reflect upon what God has done, what God will do, and what God is doing in our midst, what I'd like to do now is actually just kind of walk through the whole Bible. Because really, you know, you know how you pick up, like, have you guys ever, like, picked up, like, started watching a movie halfway through? You guys ever, you know, you got to get the whole thing. So buckle up. The excitement in the room has diminished substantially. So tell you what, why don't I do like an abbreviated version? Would you guys prefer that? We'll just do like an abbreviated version of the whole story of the Bible, but we are gonna go through the whole Bible. And this is just a teaser trailer so that later today, after you eat your yum-yums, you can read your whole Bible, which you should totally do. Okay, so what God has done. In the Bible, there's this first book of the Bible. It's the one with the first book of the Bible? It's like Genesis, that's right. Okay, so Genesis 1 goes like this. You guys ready? Tell me if you've heard this one before. Okay, it says, in the beginning. Yeah, great opening line. Okay, so in the beginning, that's how you know you're in Genesis, because it's in the beginning. Okay, so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And so God creates all of the cosmos, he orders the cosmos, and then he creates humans and puts humans in a garden called Eden, and his desire is to dwell with humanity forever. So to dwell integrated, God and humanity integrated together. So if you were to ask the question in Genesis 1 and 2, in Eden, like, where's heaven? It would be united with earth. You guys with me so far? So Genesis 1 is heaven and earth united. That's like the whole idea, is that God created humans to dwell with humans, to be with humans, and that they would be integrated. But in Genesis chapter 3, you're never gonna guess what happens. It's a snake thing. So there's like this moment where the humans are basically like, everything's cool, God. We appreciate everything you did for us, but we're gonna give you the finger and we're gonna be our own gods. Now, the give God the finger thing, now that might be offensive to some of us, but how do you think like cosmic rebellion feels? Right, so I'll do it one more time. They rebelled against God. I know, gasp, right? Because the whole thing was about integration. So in our rebellion, this is called sin, evil, in our rebellion away from God, we've turned from God, and each human makes that decision to go their own way. And that act of rebellion creates disintegration, a disintegration in our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. First thing that the humans do after the disintegration with God is they start blaming each other. Have you guys ever seen people do that? Okay, so they start blaming each other, right? So disintegration with God, disintegration with each other, and disintegration with their own selves. Because we are made for union with God, which begets union with one another and union or wholeness with ourselves. And so there's this question throughout the Bible. Again, this is a bird's eye view. Throughout the Bible, there's this question, how do we get back to Eden? How do we get back to integration with God, with each other, and with ourselves? How do we find, another way to call it might be redemption. So in light of our rebellion, how do we find redemption? And so fast forward into your New Testament, there's this thing called the Gospel of Mark, which starts like this. Later in the middle of the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus showed up. And Jesus is God in the flesh. So God in the flesh comes to rescue us. And this is what it says. Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. So all throughout the Bible, they'd been wondering, okay, when is the time going to be that heaven and earth reunite? He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So two things I want to notice. One, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is another way to talk about that union with God and union with people. Total human flourishing in union with God, union with one another, and union with ourselves. And so Jesus says the kingdom of God is here. It's present with you. And then what does he tell people to do? This is kind of one of those church words that like people, a lot of times people don't like. Did you guys hear what Jesus said? He said, hey, guess what? Good news. The kingdom of God is here. And what does he tell people to do? Repent. Now, here's the deal. I know that that word has fallen out of favor in many communities because it's been abused and it's been forced on people. But I just want to, I want to give you a fresh vision of that word repentance. You ready? This is what repentance means. You're going away from God. You're going towards disintegration. You're leading a life or thinking in ways that are disintegrated from the way that we're designed to be. And repentance is realizing it, turning, and going back to God. You guys tracking with me? So repentance is another way to put it, having a mind-blowing experience that radically transforms your life, that turns you from going your own way to going towards the Jesus way. This is why Jesus, because remember, Jesus wants us back in the garden. And so he says, hey, everybody, follow me. Turn from going your own way, turn and believe in the good news. Another way to translate the word good news is the gospel. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. This message of the kingdom of God, it was very disruptive to the powers that be, because it dismantled the power structures of the kingdoms of this world. And so the elite, the religious and the political elite, they didn't really like what Jesus was saying. And so Jesus was disturbing the peace of the powers that be. And you know what they did? You guys ever heard of Good Friday? Oh, what's the central like image of Christianity? It's like the central icon. It's very popular. People sometimes wear it around their neck. What is that? It's not a T for time to believe in God, contrary to popular belief. It's a what? TV timeout. I just want you to see how revolutionary the teaching of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is. I want you to check this. Do you know what the cross is used for? The cross was used by the Roman Empire to crucify political dissidents and maintain order by power of death. So if Rome didn't like what you were doing, and in order to send a signal to everyone else to fall in line with the Roman Empire, you know what they would do? They'd take you and they'd put you on a cross. It was an instrument of death. You see it? Torture, humiliation, and death. Why is it that Christians now wear around their necks or get tattoos on their body of an instrument of torture, humiliation, and death? Why? Because notice what Jesus did. So the empire, Rome, was using the power that it knew, namely dealing death. Jesus willfully went to the cross, died on the cross, an instrument of torture, humiliation, and death. And then what did he do 3 days later? Spoiler alert. He rose from the grave. Now notice this. In rising from death, he dismantled the power of the cross. Do you see it? He dismantled Rome's power structure of powering over and lording over and dominating over by showing that dealing death is not the most powerful thing in the universe. Resurrection power is the most powerful thing in the universe. So that's why Christians wear crosses, okay? So the kingdoms of this world can deal death, but the kingdom of God is built upon resurrection power. And so the response that Jesus says is, in light of the most powerful thing in the universe, namely the resurrection power of Jesus, turn from leading a life that has succumbed to the power of darkness and death, repent and believe in the good news. And this changes your life because all of the things that threaten us, that cause us anxiety and fear, the ultimate thing that causes us anxiety, trepidation, and fear, that causes us generally to live outside of our characteristics or our integrity, is the fear of death. And Jesus says, yeah, but death has no hold on you because there's something more powerful than death, namely resurrection. So that's what Jesus did. What will he do? So we're in the Gospel of Mark. Go all the way to the end of your Bible. At the very end of the Bible, in Revelation 21:5, it says this. This is what Jesus says. Behold, I am making all things new. This is resurrection power. While evil and chaos exist in the world and cause disintegration, and we experience disintegration today, Jesus promises that one day all things will be made new. I remember a very dear friend of mine, his father passed away. And it was sudden and it was shocking. And one of the things that we ended up talking about multiple times was this very verse. Behold, I'm making all things new. And he actually got it etched on something that he keeps with him as a reminder that death does not have the final say. That one day he'll be with Dad again. because Jesus will make all things new. If you are experiencing death and disintegration, the breaking apart of relationships, the breaking apart of your own self, know this, that when Jesus calls out to us to turn from our own way and to turn to him, he's calling us to integrated, flourishing life and life abundant. And so Jesus will return and make all things new. And so what is Jesus doing now? So we've talked about what Jesus has done, what Jesus will do. He will return and make all things new. And I love this. The very end of your Bible says this. You ready? I told you we were going to get through the whole Bible today. Revelation 22, 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Your Bible begins and ends with a pursuing God who has designed you and created you and loves you. Do you know that Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine? That he is nearer to you than you are to your own self. That he delights in you. That he adores you. That he calls you his child. And when he calls out, hey, repent, it's come back to me. And believe the good news that the kingdom is at hand, that death is not the end, that resurrection power reigns supreme in the cosmos that God has created and ordered. And then he invites us, Jesus does this thing where he says, hey, like following me, Jesus says, it's not just about what I have done and what I will do in the future, it's about what I'm doing right now because Jesus is a living God. You understand? The resurrection power means that Jesus is present with us now. And so how is Jesus present with us now? Oh, real quick, you guys ever heard of the Lord's Prayer? It's like, it's so famous, right? Like it goes like this, I'll do it like the old fashioned way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy, hold on, pause right there. Thy what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done what? On earth as it is in heaven. That prayer is a call to action now. To live in light of the resurrection now. And so in light of the resurrection power of Jesus, how might your life be changed? Now. Not just a trust in what he has done, not just a hope for what he will do, but the healing and integration and resurrection power that he wants to flow through us now. What might Jesus be doing in your life now? For he is a risen God. As a church family, we are spending this season of our life, I think our church is 47 years old, and Phoenix has changed in 47 years. And we've been praying over the last few months, I think since August, that the Lord would reveal to us the fresh new way that he's calling us to minister. And so I want to invite you to get out your phones, please. And we're going to do that word cloud thing. But what I want to invite you to consider is this. In light of the fact that Jesus calls us to live as ambassadors of reconciliation, citizens of the kingdom of God now, agents of the resurrection power now, then I believe that he's calling us to be attentive to how he's leading us to minister to and serve this city. And so I'm going to invite the band to come out. And as they do, I want you to listen to the lyrics of the song, to remain in your seats, and to pray, Lord, what are you putting on my heart? And then I want you to answer this question with the word cloud. What is an area of brokenness or darkness in this community that you are praying that God would do a resurrection powerful work in? What's a need? What's a community? What's a person? What's an area of life? And then as we see the words up on the screen, let us be a people who pray that we would see that resurrection power, that healing, reintegrating power in these spaces, in the days, months, and years to come. And so let us pray, Lord, how do we want to see you at work in our community? And then let's share that with each other.